Now, I wonder when the last time was that someone gave you some money. Just think about that for a moment. Some particular occasion, somebody's given you some money for some particular reason. Maybe it was a birthday or something like that. Well, I guess getting some cash in hand from a family member or a friend is something that most of us enjoy now and again. Financial group CE Capital Direct has recently published its relative generosity survey. They asked people if they had received money and from whom. Well, over the past year, respondents said that they had received an average of £1,685 from family members as a cash gift. That's pretty good, I would have said, wouldn't you? That's average. Now, what sort of relative do you think came top of the list for generosity? Anybody like to make a suggestion? What sort of relative came top of the list for being generous? Grandparents?
Parents?
What was that one? Father, yeah. Children, yeah. Well, actually, believe it or not, it was mothers-in-law. There you are. It's a surprising fact to some of us. No, I don't know why, but there you are. They topped the list. Those in the survey who said that they had received money from their spouse's mother reported that they got an average of £3,093, a figure that dwarfs the cash contributions made by brothers, who were second, nearly £1,600, or fathers, who were third in the list, who gave an average of £1,370. Well, this morning I just wanted to spend a few minutes thinking about that incident that we read from the Old Testament in the second book of Samuel chapter 9. And we find a man there who was very generous and who points us to some important things about generosity. So we're going to think about that word generosity quite a bit as we go through the story. Now, one of the best kings of the Old Testament people of God was King David. And God had chosen David to be king, despite being in many ways the most unlikely person that was one of the options. And that was because God wanted to show that it was him, God, who was going to rescue his people, even though David was the leader. Now, David lived about 3,000 years ago, and his life story is recorded for us in the Old Testament books of Kings and Chronicles. Now, David, as some of us know, was a man who sometimes made mistakes, sometimes very big mistakes. But on the whole, he was a pretty good king for his people, certainly compared to those who went before him. David tried to be generous to everyone. He tried to encourage people whenever he had the opportunity. Now, before David became king, the previous king, called Saul, had been a pretty awful king. And he had made life very difficult for David. But despite this, David had, in his attitude, been very generous to Saul. He'd sought to be very loyal to him. And in fact, he had become best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. Now, very sadly, Jonathan died in a battle against the people's enemies. But even after very many years, after David himself had become king, he would often miss his friend Jonathan and think about him. Now, David would think about the last time that he'd met Jonathan, when Jonathan had saved David's life. And David remembered a promise that he had made to Jonathan, that if anything happened to Jonathan, David would take care of Jonathan's family. Now, one day, David had an idea. He decided to ask the old king's servant about the family of Jonathan. Now, David found the servant, he was called Ziba, and he asked him, you were Saul's servant, and you knew Jonathan and his family very well. Does Jonathan have any children that are still left alive? We read, is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness or generosity of God to him? Well, the servant answered, yes, King David, there is one son. His name is Mephibosheth. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. No one really knows how the Old Testament Hebrew was pronounced at the time. Mephibosheth, something very bad happened to him when he was little, and now he cannot walk. Now, David knew nothing about Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. He thought that all of Jonathan's sons were dead. But David discovered that Mephibosheth was now a grown man, and he had his own sons. But his life was rather difficult. David was then very keen to be generous to him in order to fulfill his promise. You see, what had happened was that when Mephibosheth was just a little boy, he had a nanny who looked after him. But on the terrible day that his father Jonathan died and his grandfather Saul, something else very sad happened to Mephibosheth. You see, a messenger had come to tell everybody what had happened, and in the shock, his nanny dropped him. And his legs were damaged, so damaged that he wasn't able to walk properly. Now, when David realized what had happened, David told the old servant, "You must go and find Mephibosheth and bring him to me." Now, at first, when Mephibosheth came into the presence of David, he was very worried. You see, often what happened in the nations around was that if a new king came into contact with the children of an old king, he would often be very unpleasant to them. But that was not what it was like with David. King David wanted to be generous to Mephibosheth, and he welcomed him. So we read, "Do not fear, for I will show you great generosity for the sake of your father Jonathan." Now David told Mephibosheth about how Jonathan had been his best friend. And he probably told him about how Jonathan had used to give him lots of presents. And David also told Mephibosheth about the special promise that he had made to Jonathan. So the king wanted to do something special for his friend Jonathan's son. Now Mephibosheth could hardly believe what he was hearing. "Oh no, King David," he said. "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" In other words, "I'm not of any great value or significance. You're too generous. I'm not worthy of this kind of honor." "Mephibosheth," David said, "I promised your father that I would always take care of you. Other people have taken the land that belonged to your father and grandfather and your family. I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. I will now give it all back to you, and you shall eat at my table always. Any time that you want to come and eat at the palace, you're very welcome. You'll never have to worry about anything because I will always take care of you." You see, David accepted the grandson of Saul as if he had been adopted into his own family. Now Mephibosheth went away very happy to go and tell his family all that had happened. He told everyone about the generous king David and how David had kept his promise to him to take care of him for the rest of his life. Now David was clearly a very generous king. He went beyond what would have been expected of him. But King David pointed forward to the most generous king ever. This king came 1,000 years later and was of the same family line as David. This king did more than give needy people some land. He fulfilled God's promise of bringing rescue to the families of the earth. This king did more than have surprising people eat with him. He invited people to eat at his table always in the presence of God by adopting undeserving family into people, into God's family, the church. This king was supremely generous because to make all of that possible, he gave his life that others might live. And that, of course, is what we remember this morning as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion. We think of King Jesus, who gave his life that we might live. So by his generosity, Jesus achieved so much for those who would believe in him. And Jesus also taught and set an example to his people that they too might be generous. Because God has been generous to us through Jesus, we are to be generous to others because, as Jesus himself said famously, we are to love our neighbours as ourselves. We're to look out for one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, as we would like people to do for us. And we are to be generous to the poor, to people who are weak and disadvantaged, as we saw illustrated with David and Mephibosheth. And because God has been generous to us through Jesus, we're not just to be generous to those who like us or who are our friends, but to be generous to people who are difficult or challenging, even those who are against us in some way. So as we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Be merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful." So King David, as we've thought about his story this morning, points us to the generosity of God seen supremely in the generosity of King Jesus. Generosity that is to be shown by Jesus' people who have first received his generosity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us in Jesus. We thank you that he gave himself to die on the cross in our place for our sins. We know that we are undeserving and that therefore what he did for us is something of great generosity. And we pray that as we've thought about this truth this morning, you would thrill our hearts with your love so that then we can be generous to all kinds of people in return. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.